You're listening to a best of Montana Talks. Hold your phone calls for today.
Hey, real quick before we jump into it here on this Freedom Friday, I know some of you are really bad when it comes to Christmas gifts and being last-minute shoppers. What about giving the gift of beef? What about giving the gift of Montana beef? Hey, go say hello to our friends at Reminisce Angus Ranch, Dillon, Montana. You can go to their website, remangus.com, and see what kind of gift packages they might have for you that you can bring to some friends, or maybe you can pick up some of their steaks, throw some of their Reminisce Angus Ranch jerky into a gift bag when you're on to a Christmas party or then on to a New Year's party or something like that. Yeah, it's always fun to catch up with our friend Brian Massard from Reminisce Angus Ranch in Dillon. He's just always got great insight when it comes to the Make America Healthy Again agenda. He's been talking a lot about beef tallow over seed oils when it comes to, you know, what you're cooking with, etc. And he was talking about that long before everybody else was, by the way. In fact, speaking of beef tallow, they've got a tallow skincare product that I think you can purchase even on the Reminisce Angus website. But, yeah, you get the product shipped right to your house. Or sometimes you can see their jerky in some town pump locations or get some of the beef in the town country store locations as well at various locations. But, yeah, easiest thing to do. Go to remangus.com, reach out to them, find out where you can get their products, or just get it shipped to you direct. Becky Hillier back with us here on this Freedom Friday. Becky, I'll bet you just had a ton of fun watching the NFR last week, huh?
Well, yeah, so I actually didn't stay for the competition part. I was there more just for the pre-NFR competition events. So went to the Gold Buckle Gala, went to the back number ceremony, which is always fun, and then got to reconnect with some of my PRCA friends, which is a blast. So just got to be there for some of the pre-festivities and then came home and watched a lot of it on the app on my phone.
So. Yeah, well, I feel like the first week is the week to be there, because when I went there like in week two when, from a competition standpoint, that's the time to be there, because that's when you're going to find out who the winners are, who the world champs are, who the all-around champs are, which great news on the Montana front with in one regard there. But really the week before, that's when you see some of the younger kids there. You get to see, you're more likely to be able to get tickets then. And then you're right. You can come back home and watch the rest on the app or on TV.
Right, and I was just so proud of how our Montana contingent did. We had five athletes who qualified for the NFR. Two of them first-time qualifiers, Taylor Moikens in barrel racing, and then Sam Peterson in bareback. Sam went in number two in the world, and he left number two in the world, but he won the average championship there. So he performed the best out of all of the bareback riders, all 15 bareback riders at the NFR. Sam was the one who performed most consistently, and that's how he won the average title. And that's really exciting for this young kid. I think he's 22 years old. It was his first trip to the National Finals Rodeo, and every night watching him perform, he performed like a veteran of the NFR, Aaron. I mean, he didn't seem to have any kind of nerves at all, rookie nerves. He just went out there in the arena and did a great job. And Taylor, she had a few rounds where she didn't perform as well as she wanted to, but you know what? She still made it.
First time.
Still
ever.
Have some really great runs. Yeah, first time ever.
Some
great
Hold
runs.
That thought, Becky. We got to hit the break here. We'll talk more about Taylor as well right after this. Stand by.
Back now with the best of Montana Talks.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
So Sunday night, I wrote a, or actually Sunday morning, I think it was, I wrote a big recap. The NFR, the National Finals Rodeo, is a wrap in Vegas. Here's how the Montanans perform. And so I wrote a little recap Sunday night, but haven't really talked too much about it because I thought, no, let's wait till Becky Hillier joins us on Friday, because she's just done such a great job of covering all this rodeo action, helping us cover it all year long here. And you know, of course, we were there for Rodeo Billings and the inaugural of that, which was just so incredible. But, Becky, I want to go back first to Sam Peterson, the 22-year-old. He just seems like a really cool young man. I loved when he was the final night, when he became the official NFR all-around winner, basically. And he was riding his horse, and he was doing, like, the two fingers guns shoot, you know, like he was shooting at the crowd.
Right.
Pew, 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 you know. And so that was pretty cool, just a classic Western look there. But the fact that, you know, I think it's interesting because for people who, you know, maybe are new to rodeo, newer to rodeo, you might be like, okay, wait a minute. So who's the champion and who isn't the champion? Because it's like, okay, you've got the all-around winner and then you've got the world mm-hmm. champion. So the world champion is the person who basically who tallied up the most wins, the most money throughout the entire year, right? And you do that because that encourages them to go out to as many rodeos as they can all across the country. The all around or the average winner, which is with what Sam Peterson did, is like, okay, now it's mm-hmm. the NFR, now it's the Super Bowl. Basically, he performed the best in his event at the Super Bowl of the rodeo. But in order to be right. the official, now in other sports, if you won the Super Bowl, you're the world champ, right? In rodeo,
right.
you gotta win it all, you know, all year long. I mean, you gotta pull in the most amount of cash to be the Super Bowl champion. But in reality, like by him winning the NFR, essentially, like to me, that's him winning the Super Bowl. If you ask me, that's pretty stinking cool.
Well, Rocker Steiner in bareback, he just turned, I think today he's 22 years old. Yesterday or today was his 22nd birthday, and he comes from NFR pedigree. His dad was a world champion steer wrestler. His grandpa was a world champion bull rider. And now Rocker finally, you know, won his world champion bareback title. So Rocker is the one who earned the most money through his rodeoing all season long in the 2025 season. And so he maintained that with the money he added at the NFR, add that to his season money, then yes, he did come out as the world champion. But like you said, Sam Peterson there, over those 10 days of competition, he was the bareback rider with the most consistent performance in bareback riding night after night after night. So, with the money that he earned and the scores that he got, he ended up being the average winner for bareback riding. So that's a pretty good, I don't even say consolation prize. That is a very strong showing for him. And he's only 22 years old. Just think what the next 10 years has in store for Sam Peterson in bareback riding and in the rodeo profession. He's going to be so fun to watch because, like I said, he got back there and he handled it like a champ.
And he's the first Montanan.
The all-around.
He's the first Montanan to win. At least this is what he was quoted as saying. So I'm sure, you know, it would have been fact-checked if it could be by now. But the first Montanan to win the average in bareback since Deb Greeno, one of our favorites, of course, the champ Deb Greeno.
Oh, he's great. Yeah, so he just had such an impressive performance during the NFR. And, you know, it's so easy on that stage, Aaron. You can imagine going there for the first time, and you're surrounded by former world champions and people who are way more seasoned than he was. And he'd been trying for 3 years to get to the NFR. He finally did it. And I will say that he edged out Jez Pope, who's a former world champion. He won bareback riding in 2022. He edged out Jez Pope for the average by a quarter of a point. And that just tells you how close the competition is, how talented these guys are, how athletic they are. And Sam ended up being the average winner. So he just went there and handled it like a pro. Very gracious. He's just a good kid from everything I've heard from everybody. Great kid, great perspective, very strong faith, and just so incredibly thankful to be there. And to be at the back number ceremony and to see him up on stage, get his number and the big smile he flashed across his face, that was just so exciting.
That had to be just incredible. It had to be so cool to officially be down there for those events. Although, Becky, you can be honest, you wanted to go down for the shopping at Cowboy Christmas. You can be honest with us. We're all friends around here.
You know what? I am not. I'm not very girly that way, Aaron. I'm not a big shopper. I really am not. And the walking around slowly, just looking at everything.
I can't walk slow. Slow walking is crushing for me. I'm like, oh, come on. Am I at Costco at 1 right? o'clock in the afternoon? What's going on here? Let's move it, people.
Get out of my way. We got things to do. Yeah. No, the Cowboy Christmas I didn't go to, but it's just fun. It's a fun environment to be around. And after kind of being behind the scenes for a couple of years and seeing how it all works, it's more exciting. And to reconnect with some of my friends who are still working for the PRCA and doing such a great job, that was really, really nice.
So. Well, we got to talk more, too, about Taylor Moikens. You know, she did rodeo for the Montana State rodeo team. She's from Three Forks. Her first ever appearance at the National Finals Rodeo. I didn't even realize this until after the fact, because I was watching a lot of the NFR and, you know, and watching the coverage, the preview coverage on the Cowboy Channel before the events would kick off. And, you know, that was always fun to watch because you get the storylines and the narratives. And then you had a bit, because I love the stories behind all of this, you know, whether it's the stock or the Cowboys or whatever. But I didn't even learn this until after the fact. Apparently, because of this equine virus that's been going around the country, she couldn't bring her own barrel racing horses with her down there to the NFR. So she was hot seating other horses. How you could do that and still perform and still cash a check in barrel racing when you're not even riding your own horses, that is incredible. Anyway, Becky, I want to get your take on that right after this as well, if you can.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunny breaks and some cloudiness around the region as we head through the day today. High temperature readings will stay in the mid-40s. For tonight, with partly to mostly cloudy skies, temperatures drop back in the lower 30s. And then the outlook for Friday calls for breaks of sun and some cloud cover with high temperatures from the upper 40s to around 50 degrees. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly.
Are you living with dry air?
This is where Montana Talks at with Lane Nordland.
Montana sheep producers and others from across the nation now have more time to contact Congress over imported lamb continuing to pressure domestic markets. The American Sheep Industry Association is urging lawmakers to support a Section 201 global safeguard investigation under the Trade Act of 1974.
We've seen imports from Australia and New Zealand significantly rise from 45% over many years to like 70-75% now. That is huge volume coming in and not competitive to U.S. producers.
That's Texas sheep producer Tammy Fisher, who serves as Secretary Treasurer of the American Sheep Industry Association. And she says that ASI is advancing bipartisan Dear Colleague letters in both the House and Senate, urging the U.S. Trade Representative to support a U.S. International Trade Commission investigation for lamb imports from countries like Australia and New Zealand. The deadline for congressional signatures has been extended to Friday, January 9th, 2026, giving producers more time to contact their lawmakers.
They get a lot of unfair advantages, we feel like, over there that we don't have access to ample minutes like they do, or we don't have access to a lot of drugs like they do. They don't have a coyote or wolf problem like we do.
Fisher said it simple. It's all about fair trade. U.S. Senator Steve Daines of Montana is leading the effort on the Hill. Visit sheepusa.org for details. I'm Wayne Nordblatt.
Montana Talks, where you get the mic.
You're listening to a best of Montana Talks. Hold your phone calls for today.
Zero. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
All right, Lane Nordland throwing in his Go Bobcats there. Of course, Lane was actually the mascot. He was Champ the Mascot when he was a college kid at Montana State University. And then, of course, David Noble and I threw in our Go Grizz yesterday. So Lane with his Go Bobcats today. That's right. I almost forgot. Cat Grizz Part 2 tomorrow for the semifinal. My goodness. Absolutely incredible. Let's see. Oh, real quick. Regarding the meat of his report there, yeah, big news there. In fact, Congressman Ryan Zinke also voted to delist the gray wolf, casting his vote in support of the Pet and Livestock Protection Act. Passed the U.S. House in a vote 211-204. Congressman Zinke saying, quote, "Today I voted to delist the gray wolf in all of the lower 48. The Endangered Species Act was created to protect endangered animals, not to be weaponized for a radical agenda by activist judges. The last four administrations have all agreed that the gray wolf has recovered. Let's follow the science in Montana's lead and delist." All right, Becky, back to Taylor Moikens, the barrel racer out of Three Forks. Did I read right that she didn't even have her own horses down there with her? I mean, for barrel racing, I don't know how you could do that well, still cash a check in barrel racing, and have to hot seat horses from somebody else and not even be able to have your own horses down there. That's remarkable.
Right. That is really impressive, isn't it? Because if you think about, say, like a ballroom dancer, ballroom dancing couple, they get to know each other's moves. They know how each other flows across the floor. And it's very much a dance with those barrel racers and their horses. The horses get to know the rider. The rider gets to know the horse, and each has their strength and how they'll attack the barrels and the pattern they run, how tight, how comfortable they are getting so close to the barrels. And if you don't have your horses that you have trained with, that you've gotten to know, and you have that symbiotic relationship, how do you even do it? How do you just jump on a horse that you've never ridden before, you've never sat on before, and actually win money at the NFR? But she managed to do that. And like you said, because of the virus, she couldn't have her horses, and so she did have to get on horses that weren't hers that she hadn't ridden before. And so even though she didn't do as well in the NFR in this first appearance that she had that she dreamed of, she did, I think, even better than could be expected under the circumstances. And she did make it in the money. And I can't remember how many rounds she placed in, but she did make it into the money in a few of those rounds during the NFR on horses that were foreign to her.
Yeah.
And she was foreign to them. So, I mean, a good barrel race horse knows how to do the patterns, but there's so much a relationship between the rider and the horse. It's incredible when you
see
the connection between them. And so the fact that she was able to still do well and still do herself proud and the state proud by getting on horses she had never ridden before on the biggest stage in rodeo, I mean, that speaks volumes about her talent and her commitment. And I'm just really excited to see what Taylor has in store for the next, 10 years as well. And even beyond, barrel racers ride a lot longer than the rough stock guys do.
Yeah.
So she has a very, very long career ahead of her, I believe, at the NFR.
There's a great veterans program called Horses Spirits Healing, north of Billings, that I, had the great fortune to be able to go through. One of my sons and I went through the program, and I'll tell you what, they would tell you how, like, sometimes the horse and its rider are so in sync that their heartbeats will eventually get into sync. And you can just tell by the look in that horse's eye whether that horse wants to work with you or not. You're like, oh, great, this horse is going to...
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're like, let's get you on another horse today, because they're like, I don't want that big guy riding on me. I want somebody lighter than that. It's crazy. Well, Becky Hillier, let's get to your bright side story. It's a nice Christmas story as well. Your look at the bright side story for us. You kind of previewed this a while back for an upcoming piece that I think is now available in the Yellowstone Valley Woman magazine.
Yeah, it came out last month in the Yellowstone Valley Woman magazine, and so it's out for 2 months. But it's about the Santa Project, and, the world is made up of dreamers and doers, and independently, each can be successful on their own. But if you put a dreamer and a doer together, oftentimes it just, at the right timing, creates this meaningful and magical experience. And that's exactly what happened with these two gals who work together, Bridget Mary, and she is the dreamer, and Jenna Huck, and she is the doer. And about Bridget said that she was at her son's school, and they were doing a holiday lunch just right before the Christmas break. And she was sitting at a table with her son and his little friends, and they were all excited about what Sam was going to bring them and talking about that and the anticipation of finding presents under the tree. And one of the little boys at the table said, well, I'm a good boy, and Santa never comes to see me. And Bridget said that just stopped her in her tracks and hurt her heart, because here all of these kids were excited about Christmas. This little boy had never experienced Christmas, and she knew when people came, when the kids came back from Christmas break, they'd be talking about what they got. He wouldn't be able to offer anything. And so she thought maybe initially they didn't celebrate Christmas because of religious belief, but then she saw the little boy's
this
teacher.
This is like something straight out of a movie. This is just like something straight out of a Christmas movie that you might watch during the holidays. A little boy sitting right there saying, well, I'm a good boy and Santa never comes to my house. Wow. So then what does she do? What do they end up, doing, and what does it lead to?
Yeah, well, so anyway, she realized and she saw his teacher putting meals in his backpack for the weekend. So she knew that his family, it wasn't because they had, religious differences or they didn't believe in Christmas. It was likely because they just didn't have the means. And she said that stuck with her year after year after year. Every Christmas, she would think of this little boy. Well, fast forward a couple of years ago, her friend Jenna, who volunteers at Friendship House here in Billings, was in need of getting some presents for some girls who, teenage girls who had come to the mission just a couple of days before Christmas. So Bridget went out, bought some gifts for them, and decided to buy a couple of stockings and stuff stockings because stockings are stuffed by Santa, and that would be like, wow, Santa came to visit me. So Bridget ended up telling Jenna about this encounter with this little boy 10 years before, and she said, it's always just weighed heavily on my heart and mine, and I'd like to do something to help kids like him. And Jenna, the doer, said, well, let's do it. And so 2 years ago, they came up with the idea for the Santa Project, and they bought stockings, and they had volunteers who made some stockings, and then they would buy items to put in those stockings, some hygiene items or just some toys like little puzzles, chapsticks, things like that. And they wanted to get about 250 stocking stuff to give out to kids who were at the mission or at Friendship House. And they got a list of eligible kids from friends and organizations around town. And they ended up putting together more than 300, I think it was 318 stockings that they then delivered to families and kids around Yellowstone County who otherwise would not have a visit from Santa, like that little boy. And Bridget and Jenna said just seeing the Santa Project in action is everything for them, because there's so many parents out there whose heart's desire is to give their children Christmas, but they can't. And Jenna and Bridget's kids have never wanted for Christmas. They have never had to worry about Santa not coming. And so it really was just this great meeting of the minds, and both of them using their strengths to make sure that this project got off the ground. Volunteers got involved. Their employer made a donation. Friends and family made donations. And now this year it's grown even more. They had a huge volunteer base that helped stuff stockings. And one thing Jenna said, you know, the kids that she would encounter at the Friendship House, she said these were kids who were asking for coats or shoes or just basic items for survival. She said they weren't even asking for toys.
They were just so happy
at the thought of getting something simple.
Wow, that's incredible. Very cool. Well, Becky Hillier, thanks for featuring that. Merry Christmas to you and Mitch and the rest of the family.
Merry Christmas.
Always appreciate you joining us on the show here. Yeah, Merry Christmas to you and yours, and that was
Merry Christmas to everyone.
Hearing your recap of the NFR. All right, Becky, thanks so much for being with us. Quick break here on Montana Talks. Attorney General Austin Knutson in the news on several big topics here this week. We're going to catch up with Attorney General Austin Knutson right after this.
Let me tell you real quickly here about a really cool product. This is a veteran-owned company, a Big Fork Montana Marine. I first met Lee back at the inauguration for President Trump. We had a whole great crew of Montanans that were back there for Trump's inauguration. And Lee said, hey, I want to send you a product that I created. I want you to try it out. I gave it a shot. And this is basically like a small energy drink. It's like a shot of power and pain relief all in one. It's called Power Plus Pain Aid. It's like an energy drink, but it's got vitamins. It's, instead of being loaded with chemicals, it's got vitamins in it. Here's the deal. Our friend Lee, a Marine Corps veteran, he's giving you 15% off your orders. Go to drinkpowerplus.com and use this code at checkout, Flint15, Flint15. Use that code at checkout. You'll get 15% off your orders at drinkpowerplus.com. Stay with us for more Best of Montana Talks.
At your
back now with the Best of Montana Talks.
Tackling the issues that shape our state. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, Kate, go ahead and patch the Attorney General through. Yeah, we got a lot to talk about here with Montana's Attorney General Austin Knutson. Of course, this was a big story earlier in the week that we shared with you right here on Montana Talks. In fact, we got the story on our Montana Talks website right away as well. A Montana Highway Patrol operation in St. Regis, Montana, results in multiple drug seizures and arrests. 41 deportation arrests alone. Let's start there with Montana's Attorney General, Austin Knutson. Great to have you on the show.
Hey, good morning, Aaron. Great to be here.
Yeah, good morning. I know we got a number of things we could talk about here. The Uber lawsuit, the Montana legislature charges filed there. That's a story that just came out. China propping up these fake phony climate groups here to undermine America. But really, this story out of St. Regis is huge.
It is huge, Aaron, and this is one that I really want people to focus on. I travel around a lot. I talk about drugs a lot. You and I have talked about drugs a ton on the radio, but when I bring up the cartels, when I tell people that Mexican cartels are here, a lot of times I'm met with disbelief. You know, it's not something that I say lightly. We know the data. We've known for years that primarily two Mexican drug cartels control the drug trade in Montana. But I still think Montanans, by and large, just don't really understand and maybe want to believe that. Well, this operation shows you it's true. We arrested 51 people in this operation, and 41 of them are now being deported. This was right here in St. Regis. This was a multi-agency operation we did with Border Patrol, with DEA, with locals. This was a multi-day operation last week, but I mean, 41 deportations. That tells you what we're dealing with when we're talking about the drug trade here in Montana.
I don't know if you can give any more details on what we were able to share from the Highway Patrol press release and in the news. But, you know, the biggest question a lot of people had was 41 deportation arrests in St. Regis alone. My assumption is that that this operation was based in St. Regis. That doesn't necessarily mean that all the people that were arrested were living in St. Regis, but that may be a wrong assumption. What can you tell us about where all these people were actually living or basing out of? And did this cover a wider region, or was this really ground zero in St. Regis?
So I have to be a little careful in how much information I give out, just because it is so early in the charges and in the process. What I can tell you is that when we're working these multi-agency cases, usually it's based on intelligence. You know, these aren't just a simple, oh, we got lucky and pulled somebody over. Sometimes that happens, but in big cases like this, it's almost always a multi-state, pretty complex investigation that we're doing. A lot of intelligence gathering, a lot of intelligence sharing. You know, I don't always have the greatest things to say about the federal government, at least certainly under the previous administration. But I can tell you, Border Patrol, DEA, those are some crime fighters, and those are great partners. They have some tools that we don't have. Likewise, we have some abilities that they don't have, which is why they like to partner with the Highway Patrol. The teams that were involved in the Highway Patrol takedowns here, this is some of our really specialized Highway Patrol interdiction teams. These are individuals who are specially trained in vehicle takedowns. You might think that that's not a thing here in Montana, and why would we need that? But that is a team that's very, very busy in this state. This is a team that's specially trained in motor vehicle work. So that's about as much as I can tell you right now, Aaron. But, yeah, this certainly would not be 41 individuals necessarily who are living right there around St. Regis. But they were definitely tied to this criminal operation.
Yeah, it's incredible. And then I saw that also the Highway Patrol's criminal interdiction team made three other deportation arrests and then interdicted, you know, 14 pounds of meth in Billings during that same time frame as well. It also kind of begs the question of, you know, after seeing this Joe Biden, John Tester invasion for 4 years, How much more of this threat is still within our borders right here in Montana? Because we've just got such a mess that the Trump administration is working to fix, that you're working to fix, et cetera.
Well, you have to understand. So first of all, we throw these numbers around, you know, 14 pounds of methamphetamine. I want your listeners to really understand just how gargantuan of amount of meth that is. That's a lot of meth. When I was prosecuting, we were typically dealing with individuals who were dealing grams, maybe ounces. of methamphetamine, and that certainly was a dealer amount. We knew that was somebody who was selling. Imagine 14 pounds of this poison. That's just a huge amount. So that's a big win to get off of our streets and off of our highways and out of our communities in Montana. But you're exactly right. We've left the front door open for the cartels to walk into our country for 4 years. Our numbers in Montana bear that out. That's not hyperbole. I mean, our drug interdiction seizure numbers absolutely skyrocketed in this state the 4 years that Joe Biden was the president. That's just a fact. So, and you have to understand the why. Drugs are worth more money here in Montana. The cartels want to be here. The drugs that have very little value in Phoenix or in El Paso are worth a lot of money when you traffic them up here. I mean, this is just simple economics. The cartels can make a lot of money here in Montana. That's why they want to be here. We've already seen the cartels start to pivot to different shipping routes now that the southern border has been secured by the Trump administration. We've certainly seen our numbers fall. That's a really good thing. Our fentanyl numbers have fallen tremendously just in this first year of the Trump administration. That's good news. But we still do see this stuff coming in. I think we're going to see the cartels pivot to the northern border. That hasn't necessarily happened yet, but we strongly suspect that that's what we're going to start seeing.
Well, and kind of one of the rants I went on last hour of the show is you look at President Trump and what he's doing to go after these narco-terrorist drug boats, and then your efforts, the Highway Patrol's efforts, the Border Patrol's efforts to go after the traffickers on our roadways here in Montana. And it's just crazy because the Democrats are throwing this hissy fit temper tantrum to try to defend the narco-terrorist boat captains in the Caribbean. And then they're attacking the brave men and women of ICE who are trying to make American streets safer. And then we've got left-wing activists, even in Whitefish, death threats against our Border Patrol agents, throwing projectiles at our Border Patrol vehicles and protesting the great men and women of the Border Patrol there. And so they are very clearly trying to do everything they can to keep this threat on the streets of America.
This is bonkers, Aaron. If we were in a Marvel movie, I am convinced that the Democrats would be rooting for Thanos. This is absolutely crazy. I don't understand this. Hundreds of thousands of Americans die from drug overdose every year. We know the Chinese Communist Party, the People's Liberation Army in China, part of their asymmetric warfare is to target America, to target our young people, but to target our social fabric and destroy it from within by drugs. Most of the precursors for these poisons are coming from China. The cartels are getting them from China. This is just not long division. We're not playing checkers here. This is easy to see.
Well, which ties into another. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, we live in a world where the Democrat Party is lamenting these drug traffickers being killed. These people are literally killing 100,000 Americans every year. That's more than died a lot of our wars, Aaron.
Yeah,
and the Democrats are defending these people. This is insanity.
And you mentioned China, and you mentioned fentanyl. So yeah, China has obviously been a part of working with the drug cartels to get these drugs into America. Well, that brings us to another topic. Montana Attorney General Austin Knutson leading a 26-state coalition of attorneys general. Austin, here the story here is, and we got about 30 seconds before the break. Well, you tell us, what's the story here with about 30 seconds to go before the break?
Okay, really quickly, we've identified a number of nonprofit organizations here in Montana, or, well, certainly here in Montana, but certainly here in America, who are working on behalf of China. When you are in the country working on behalf of a foreign government, you have to register as a foreign agent with the federal government. If you're going to lobby on behalf of China, you have to publicly register and say, hey, I'm here working on behalf of China. These groups haven't done it. They're advocating for climate change. They're advocating for that. They're spending tons of money on litigation, and it's affecting us here in Montana. So we've asked the Justice Department to investigate.
Basically, people operating on American soil being paid for, propped up by the communist Chinese to undermine America and give the communist Chinese a pass, of course. All right, back with more after this.
First sports update.
And we wrap up 2025 with what else? More college football today and tonight. Five more games. One of them, though, bigger than the others. It's a playoff game. A national quarterfinal. Number 2, Ohio State. Number 10, Miami in the 90th annual Cotton Bowl. Three more quarterfinals set for tomorrow, Thursday, New Year's Day. College football on Tuesday in OT. TCU over number 16, USC. 30-27 in the Alamo Bowl. The Music City Bowl goes to Illinois. 30-28 over Tennessee, and Louisiana Tech 23-14 over Coastal Carolina. That was your Independence Bowl. News out of the NFL, New England Patriots wide receiver Stephon Diggs now facing charges of strangulation and other counts. All this in connection with a dispute with his former private chef. News of the charges breaking after a court hearing Tuesday in Dedham, Massachusetts. Diggs facing charges of felony strangulation or suffocation and misdemeanor assault and battery. Now his lawyer, David Meyer, saying in a statement, quote, that Diggs categorically denies the allegations, unquote. Meyer adding the allegations never occurred, calling them unsubstantiated and uncorroborated. A court hearing is set next for the case on January 23rd. This as the Dallas Cowboys waived Stephon Diggs' brother, two-time Pro Bowl cornerback Trayvon Diggs, on Tuesday. He played in the first six games of the season before an accident in his home landed him in concussion protocol. NHL winners last night, Montreal, Pittsburgh, Toronto, Philadelphia, and the New York Islanders. On the NBA courts, Philadelphia, Boston, Detroit, and the LA Clippers coming up with wins. Big sigh of relief in the Denver Nuggets. Nikola Jokic is only going to miss maybe a month after being diagnosed with a hyperextended left knee. He'll be reevaluated in about 4 weeks. I'm Paul Stevens.
Get more on the Fox Sports app and foxsports.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunny breaks and some cloudiness around the region as we head through the day today. High temperature readings will stay in the mid-40s. For tonight, with partly to mostly cloudy skies, temperatures drop back in the lower 30s. And then the outlook for Friday calls for breaks of sun and some cloud cover with high temperatures from the upper 40s to around 50 degrees. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
For some of the top stories in 2025, what are going to be the big things that we'll be talking about in 2026? Hey, Aaron Flint here with Montana Talks. That's what we're going to be talking about through the end of 2025 and on into 2026. Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk and be heard all across Montana. You can catch us statewide every Monday through Friday right here, 9 to 10 a.m. And go ahead and message us on the Montana Talks app as well. Back now with the best of Montana Talks.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, this is huge. And frankly, to me, this is an obvious one. But it's huge in the fact that these attorneys general have gone out and actually gathered the evidence and found out who. But just big picture, look, we saw this happening. Remember the Keystone Pipeline debate? Remember the DAPL debate, the Dakota Access Pipeline debate? And you see all these activist groups. Remember, there was an official government report that showed that the Russians were funneling money into these environmental groups into America to oppose pipelines in America. And of course, what would that do? That would benefit Vladimir Putin and the Russians. Well, no surprise here that the communist Chinese are funneling money into nonprofit organizations here in America to undermine America as well. Attorney General Austin Knutson, yeah, talk more about this case in particular.
Yeah, well, this is an interesting one, Aaron. So what we found out looking into some of these nonprofits, and we're talking primarily about two nonprofits, although the more we tugged on the string, the more alphabet soup nonprofit organizations just fell into our lap. Primarily, we're talking about the Center for Climate Integrity, which is funded by a British billionaire, the far left, anti-traditional oil and gas, believes in climate change, far left British guy. But then we start digging into that. He's tied in with Energy Foundation China. So right there in the name, it's pretty clear what they're up to there. But this is another organization that's spending millions of dollars in America. And what are they doing? Well, we found out that they're funding litigation. They're funding climate litigation. Let me think here. I think we've had a couple of those cases here in Montana where a bunch of little kids have sued the state claiming that their right to a clean and healthful environment has been violated by Montana's energy policy and by Montana's energy sector. Well, we wondered from the get-go, where's that money coming from? Now, can I prove categorically that China is funding that litigation? Nope, I can't. And that's an allegation I'm not quite ready to make. But I don't think it's a very far leap here. This is exactly the kind of litigation that these groups are funding here in America to try to hurt our energy sector, to try to help China. Where does all the windmills come from, Aaron? All the fan blades, all the copper mining, all the smelting. You talk about climate change. Who's actually putting carbon in the atmosphere? It's China. They want to hurt this country, and they're doing it through any means necessary, and this is one of them. So we've asked AG Bondi and the Department of Justice federally to look into this, to actually take a good hard look and see if these groups are violating federal law. We think they might be.
Yeah, and this is so important. I do feel like, isn't it kind of interesting how much attention the mainstream media in Montana gives to these climate alarmists? And it doesn't seem like they're giving this story as much attention as it deserves, because this is huge, because it exposes the very fact that they're undermining Montana, they're undermining America to the benefit of the communist Chinese. And you know, they're all in on the climate agenda with these climate alarmists, so they don't want that message to get out there. Attorney General Austin Knutson, Merry Christmas to you and your incredible family. Less than a minute to go. What do you want to tell folks across Montana?
It's the holidays. I tell people, please be safe. We're having crazy weather. We all know that. But this could turn. I know the folks in northeastern Montana have been getting pummeled with winds. The highway up there in your hometown of Glasgow was closed the other night. Please travel safely. If you're going to drink, have a designated driver. The highway patrol is still out working, but happy holidays, Merry Christmas.
Yeah, big thanks to all those first responders, your highway patrol troopers and others who will be working, whether it's Christmas Eve or Christmas Day. They're going to be manning the shop and manning the shift and keeping us all safe. Yeah, all right, A.G. Knutson, great to have you on the show. Freedom Friday, George Blackard, next hour, lots to talk about.
Want more Montana Talks? Download the app and listen from anywhere, anytime. We'll be back with more of Best of Montana Talks.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious. 1 in 10 kids vape serious. Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure like yourself. Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad or the seriously smart podcaster. It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously. The best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
All right, son. Time to put out this campfire.
Dad, we learned about this in school.
Oh, did you now? Okay. What's first?
Smokey Bear said to.
First, drown it with a bucket of water. Then stir it with a shovel.
Wow. You sound just like him.
Then he said.
If it's still warm, then do it again.
Where can I learn all this?
It's all on SmokeyBear.com with other wildfire prevention tips. Because only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.